Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I feel Jesus in this place. And by the end of the service, at the end, I'm going to ask those of you who know how to pray, who know how to touch God, to begin to pray in the Spirit. At the end, I'm going to call for you to pray and touch God, because God wants to do a move in this hour. Amen? Amen. So three of you believe that. Hopefully we can get everybody else on board. Yeah? God wants to do a move in this hour with this people. Yeah? It's really up to us, though. Yeah? If you could turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Might be shocking that in a Pentecostal church we'll turn to the book of Acts and read chapter 2. But if this bores you, go ahead and pull out your phone. Put an earbud in. Watch some YouTube. Because God's book, God's word, never passes away. God's word still has power and strength for every day of your life. Amen. If you read the book of Acts, lift your hand. Put it down. If you've lived the book of Acts, raise your hand. That's usually a smaller group. Today I want to read the book of Acts, chapter 2, 1 through 11. In the work world, this is called recalibration. This is where we realign with what a standard of operation is. This is where we line up to an example. The Bible calls it a cornerstone, how we build our life. So in the book of Acts, chapter 2, 1 through 11, we got Bibles in the house? Couple that don't need batteries? Book of Acts chapter 2 says this, and it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly," somebody said suddenly, "there came a what? A sound. There was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of as fire. And it sat upon each of them." And the book stops there, right? No. And it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under the heavens. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born." Is this okay to read the Bible? All right, well, I don't want to stop on one part. I want you to get context here. "Parthians and Medes, the Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia?" Pergia. That, yeah, thank you. "And Pergia and Pamphylia." "Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes and Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God." Somebody said, "Praise the Lord." I said, "Somebody praise the Lord." I butchered some of those names, but I'm gonna butcher this one more time. Alabado sea el Señor. Slava Domnu Lui. Ja bang bang si fu mungu. Yeah. If you're going to help with the word of God today, if you're going to help with what God wants to do in this hour, clap your hands. Lift your voice. Give God some glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We surrender this moment in time to you. We surrender this word to you. We release our voice. We release our hand to you. In the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth, my God. You can be seated in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I greeted you in Spanish and Romanian and Vietnamese and Swahili. And unless you know those languages, you probably didn't understand. But that's okay. Because I'm not supposed to speak those languages to you. It's funny when I say languages that aren't my native tongue. Sister Yvette likes to laugh when I try. It's funny. But I'm trying because I want to connect and I want to welcome them in their known tongue, right? Something is comforting when someone speaks your language. Amen? For me, it might be food. You speak my language, I'm going to be happy. The Bible talks about a lot of different languages spoken here. Almost up to 16 different languages were spoke at this moment in time. And the Lord began there with a sound. He released a sound from heaven that people can recognize with. Amen? Does this sound like the nature of our God? Back in the book of Genesis, when he very stepped onto the scene and started doing a work, he released a sound from heaven. And he said, let there be light. And immediately the power of God began to change the atmosphere when his sound was released. Amen? The powerful creation of God began something that hasn't stopped since. Amen? But over the process of time, people fell away from God. And they began working together against God. So God began to confuse their language. Because he doesn't want us working against him. He wants us in unity with him. Amen? And at the Tower of Babel, he confused them. But when it came to the time of Pentecost, he was united the people with a sound. Because the Bible that we just read said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Yeah? There came a sound from heaven. A lot of time it gets focused as a rushing mighty wind. And we focus on the wind, but it says it was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. It was a sound that came from heaven. A sound came from heaven to fill the atmosphere. And when it filled the atmosphere, that's when the Lord appeared. Does this make sense? There was a sound from heaven. It filled the people when they were united. And then the fire of God appeared. There was a sound. It filled the people. And the fire of God appeared. Isn't that amazing? Because not only did it fill them. It didn't just fill a united people. But it drew multitudes of people, the Bible said. People were drawn to that fire. And in fact, the Bible says that 3,000 souls were added to the church when only 120 people got it up in their mind that I'm going to pray. I don't care what's going on, the persecution that's going on, the government's doing this. None of that matters. The Lord told me to go and wait for his promise. So I'm going to step into a place of prayer and activate the faith that I have in me and apply it to the promise of God. When those few people did that, they changed the world around them. And it started with the sound. That led to a feeling. That led to the fire of God. God used men and women from different backgrounds. They were from different backgrounds. From all kinds of different places. All kinds of different history. And he consumed them. The fire of God consumed them till it overflowed out of them. The Spirit of God consumed whoever they were before that. Because they yielded who that was and put it in his hand. And he began to consume that. And because of that, they were able to reach all these other people. They were able to speak a language that affected other people. Does this make sense? The Bible says tongues of fire sat on each of them. People of different backgrounds were reaching different nations. See, the Parthians were known for their military prowess. They were known for having archers that rode on horseback. These were pretty strong, developed, military-mindsetted people. The Medes were a people who men and women heavily covered themselves in makeup and were general neutral in their dress, so there was no distinction between male and female. That's who the Medes were. That's their society. That's where some of these people were coming out. And even the Cappadocians were farmers and miners up in the hills. There's a wide range of people, military mindset, gender neutral people, or people in the farms that just wanted to be away. A great host of different people were there from backgrounds, different. But God reached them all through the sound of a rushing mighty wind and with fire from him. See, these cultures came and they understood what sacrifice was. They understood what it was to offer grain offerings and even animal sacrifices. But the highest level of sacrifice someone could ever give was a human sacrifice. So they would sacrifice themselves. They would sacrifice their children and their babies even to their gods that they worshiped. These were some of the cultures that these people were coming out of. They understood sacrifice. It was part of their heritage. And God knew how to reach them. I want to let somebody know God knows how to reach our world. God knows how to reach each and every person outside of these doors, whether in the camp right outside here or they're up in the hills in their big apartments. God knows how to reach them. He knows where they're at because God says he sees their hearts. He knows the thoughts and intents of their hearts. And God has used each and every one of us in this place to be a vessel to pour out into our city. Amen? And we sit back because we think, who am I? Who am I to go out and be a representation of who God is? Who am I to spark hope in somebody? Who am I with everything that I've been through and everything that I've done? Who am I to say God has hope for you? I'm still wrestling with that myself. Does that make sense? Yesterday at men's breakfast, I encourage you, if you can make it to a men's breakfast or a women's Bible study, come. Well, if you're a lady, come to the women's. If you're a man, come. But we'll take everybody at the youth services. And yesterday, Brother Bruce began to share about what it was like being consumed in the world. Now, the world is there just to consume you and take everything from you. But I'm here to tell you that there is no sin and no hole that you have found yourself in that the Lord cannot lift you up out of. And in the process of lifting you out, he's given you the power and authority to grab and pull people out also. Does this make sense? This is not just something we take home and put in our pocket and have to show off every now and then on a Sunday or a Tuesday. This is something that we take with us outside of this door and restore hope to people. If God has brought you something, that is a victory that you can share. It's a trophy of who your God is that this world needs to see. We can post a food and we could post our this and our that and we could do all that, but our world wants to see what God is doing in your life. He wants to know what he's doing in your heart and in your mind. Does this make sense? Yes? And I'm thankful for what it's like to be consumed in the presence of God. We all know what it's like to be consumed with something. Some of us are consumed with our jobs. Some are consumed with a video game. Yeah. Some of us are consumed with media and news and all the things that are going on in politics. And it consumes you because that's all you talk about. I go and talk to you about it and it's blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But God knew where these people were. They didn't stay stuck in their heritage and their cultures and what was done in the past. Because God had released a promise. He said, go and wait. So they obeyed. And when they obeyed, they heard a sound from heaven. And it filled them. And it overflowed. And it changed people's lives. I know this might be a basic idea for you. But our basic idea that we have gotten used to, our basic hope that we are so comfortable and moving and breathing in, this world is dying for. They're dying for peace. They're dying to stand up and feel clean in the morning. They're dying to have what you have. They're dying. Yeah. to have what you have. And we have gotten comfortable in our walk with God. We have gotten comfortable in the peace, in our cleanliness, in our own righteousness. But God is wanting us to push us further and throw that comfortableness, that cleanliness and that stuff. He wants us to throw it on the altar so he can consume it and light it on fire and show the world that there is something else than what they have. He's going to do that with you. He's going to do that with me. See, God used Peter to add to their faith. These people came from different backgrounds and different understandings, and they were trying to obey. So the Bible says that they were proselytes. They were new to the faith. They were just coming in to the church. They didn't know how to dress right or how to tie the tie right. They don't know where to sit and how to raise and when to clap and when to sit down, how to come. They didn't know all that stuff. They knew they had to be at this place, so they're going to this place. And Peter says, you're from here. You can't be here. You're not dressed right. No, those shoes, that can't go. No, you tied. That's not a double Windsor. Get that out of here. No, your hair's not high enough. No, that I see a little eyeshadow. Get out of here. He didn't do that. Peter didn't do none of that. Peter went to them and he added to their faith. They had a faith to obey a little bit. So what he did is he began to explain history to them. He began to explain from King David all the way through Jesus. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 32 and 33, it says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." He explained what was going on. The Bible says they marveled. How can these people be glorifying God in a language that they don't even know? Peter began to add to their faith. Well, we serve a God who's bigger than your understanding. We serve a God that is timeless. And he took Jesus' sacrifice and he explains it all out. And he gave a promise of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is being poured out. That's what you see and that's what you hear now. I want to encourage somebody, when you have an opportunity to pray, don't be scared to pray in the Spirit. Yeah. Be Brother Rabababa and Sister Hokamasha. Be that person that will pray in the Spirit. Because something happens when we pray in the Spirit. You put the Spirit realm on notice that this is no games here. I'm not playing games here. I'm here to enter into some warfare stuff. I'm here to touch God and let God move in this situation. I'm not moving in my own ability, in my own voice, in my own name. I'm moving in the Spirit. Because the Bible says that the Spirit intercedes for us, through us. Does this make sense? So pray in the Spirit. Every chance you get, not only does it help you pray, but the Bible says that it edifies your spirit. It strengthens you. If you've stepped in this place tired, you've stepped in this place worn out mentally and physically, you feel spiritually drawn, get to that place where you can pray in the Spirit. Because the Bible says that you will be strengthened. The Bible says you will mount up with wings as eagles. Does this make sense, somebody? Something happens when we begin to pray in the Spirit. We get us out of the way. We put our attention on what God wants to do, and we create a direct avenue from heaven straight into us. Yeah. And it's beautiful because it doesn't stop. It begins to flow out of us. And the Bible says that, well, you can be a well that just receives. Yeah. And a well is good for a small city. But the Bible doesn't call us a well when we're full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And I want to tell you, a river can change a city. A river can change a whole atmosphere. A river can change a continent. When a river is flowing out of you, you can change the very atmosphere that where you are at. You can change when you walk into the room. They could be drinking in one room, and you step into the scene, and they have to go to the garage. My wife was telling me about that just yesterday. Yeah. That's real stuff. I don't know if you guys still play like that. Anybody still know any sinners? I got a mirror on my phone. I'll show you one here in a minute. The Bible needs us to be out in our world winning souls. Yeah. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Yeah. He explained the supernatural event to these people. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, does anybody know that? Has anybody heard that before? Who wants to give it a shot? I picked on Shakinder last time. I won't this time. Who knows Acts 2:38? Who can say that out loud verbally and release that into the atmosphere? And Peter said, somebody, Sunday school teachers, repent and be baptized. Some of you. Every one of you. We're getting there. We're getting there. However you want. Oh, in the name. What name? Of Jesus Christ, just because it's cool. For the remission of sin or the putting away of sin, the end. There's more. The Bible says for the remission and the putting away of sin, we want to be happy with that. We want to be happy with the guilt and the shame and everything we lay down, and we want to be free of the guilt and be free in the presence of God. But God says, no, that's not it. That's not my plan. I want to do that to prepare you for a promise. Yeah. Anybody know what that promise is? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And what's it say? And you shall. Not you might. Not if you're good enough. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise, does anybody dare? Come on, somebody. I thought you said you're going to preach with me. I thought you said you're going to help with me today. The promise said this is for you. This is for your children. And as many. Come on. Come on. Pentecostal church. As many as are far off. As many as the Lord shall call. Who does God want to be saved? Just you in this room, right? Just the overflow room, right? God wants everybody in this city. So why are we settling with a quick prayer patty cake prayer up here at the altar when God wants us to reach souls? When God wants souls lost in their sin, he doesn't want them there. He wants them here at an altar. Right? He wants us to go reach them. He wants us to share the Holy Ghost with them. Does this make sense? Because here's what happens. God understands this principle. When fire comes, the people change. My daughters, when they were young, wanted to play near a stove. And one time, I take their hand and I put it close to the fire. And they're just, because they knew what would happen if it got on that fire. They knew it would burn them. They knew that something would happen if the fire touched them. It would change how they felt. The fire would change how they felt. The fire changes how they would react. Does this make sense? I'm going to let you know, when the Holy Ghost fire consumes who you are, it changes how you feel about what's going on. When the Holy Ghost captures you and consumes you, it changes how you react to different news. It changes how you behave in certain situations. It'll get you up out of your feet and it'll make you move in a way that you have not moved in a long time. This makes sense. Some of us need a re-pouring of the Holy Ghost, outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire. Does this make sense? Yeah. Matthew 3, verse 11 says this. This is John the Baptist speaking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier. Mightier. Washing away of sin and guilt is good, but what's about to come is mightier. He says, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bear. He was so humble in saying that. I'm not even worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The scriptures there says fire. The Bible says Holy Ghost and fire. The scripture right there says Holy Ghost and fire. So I want to let you know, I want you to check your spirit. When was the last time you had the Holy Ghost and fire? When was the last time someone looked at you and saw the fire of God consuming you and said, I want that. I need that in my life. I'm tired of what I have. I had the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues one time. I went in the waters of baptism once, but I need something more. I need the power of God living in me. I need the fire of God consuming me that the world can be touched. Does this make sense, somebody? Check your spirit today, because the Holy Ghost and fire is not an option. It's not an option on the buffet list. When you go to buy a car, you don't go in there and say, okay, I'm taking this one. And you open the hood and there's no engine in it. And you ask them, where's the engine? They're going to say, well, that's an option. That's not an option in buying a car. No. Teenagers, when you buy your first car, make sure there's an engine in it. The Holy Ghost and living for God, Holy Ghost and fire is not an option. It's a requirement for God's plan to be fulfilled. Does this make sense? The fire of God is a requirement, just like a full immersion in water. In the name of Jesus Christ is required for salvation. A full immersion in the Holy Ghost and fire is required. I like quiet. Preachers say that's the loudest amen. It's a requirement to be fully immersed in the fire of God. My wife loves space and the galaxies and the atmospheres and the... time for all that, but she's got me watching some stuff now, like on Mars and the satellites and telescopes and stuff. And I remember once she showed me a space shuttle taking off from Florida. How many of you guys ever seen that before? And it's something that I've noticed repeatedly. Every time a space shuttle takes off, there is always a fireball propelling it forward. You need the fire. Here's why you need the fire. Because with all of their studying and all of their math and all of their junk that they put down on paper, they've come up with this idea. It will take fire to break through the gravitational pull of this world. The pull on this world will hold you here unless there is fire to project you out of the atmosphere. Somebody hear me. Fire will get you through your trial. There has to be fire. Fire will carry you out of the pool of this world, out of the influence of this world. Having the fire of God on you will expel the forces that are pulling you away from God. I've tried my best to always teach my kids that this is a safe place. When they're out there and people are bullying and picking and saying this and that, come to the altar. Begin to pray, and I guarantee you they will not follow you there because that has no place up here. There's something happen when you come to an altar of God. You step into a place where God begins to pour out of his spirit. He begins to pour out his fire, and the things that are not of God have to stay away. Does this make sense? A man by the name of John Wesley said this, "Catch on fire and people will come from miles to see you burn." Another guy even said, build a fire for a man and he will be warm for a few hours. But set that same man on fire and he will be warm the rest of his life. Literally. I want to read you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Somebody hear the word of God today. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is set to test you, as though some strange thing happened to you. If you got a neighbor next to you, look at them and tell them, I don't look like what I've been through. Somebody be her neighbor. Be her neighbor. Be her neighbor. If you knew the cost of that statement, if you knew the cost of that statement, if people would understand where you have been through, and all the things that you have gone through up to this point, the cost of what it takes for you to sit in this house here today, sober, in your right mind, alive. If people understood, if they understood the power of God working in you, just get you here right now, if this world could understand what it'd be like for you to be in this house today, and the things and the hurdles that you have sacrificed and the things you put away so that you can be here today, this world needs to know your testimony. They need to know why you are today. They need to know why you are you today. Somebody hear me. I shared this with the youth group, but in Daniel chapter 3, you read of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they were thrown in the fire by Nebuchadnezzar because they would not bow down. They decided to stay faithful to an almighty God. They decided, you know what, I'm going to be a person of prayer. And no matter what they're saying, no matter what laws are passed, I'm going to be about my prayer. Well, it's going to be a regular routine till it consumes me. And their attitudes and their consecrations consume them. And the Bible says that they were thrown into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says that they fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. This is Daniel chapter 3, verse 23 and 25. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he said, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Nowhere there does it say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fourth person in the fire. Nowhere does it say that they saw God with them in their fire. All they knew is that they made a sacrifice. They decided to live right. And they were going through a fiery trial. And that fiery trial got them put into a place of punishment, a place of what is going to happen next. And in their trial, in their fiery trial, they were a witness to a king and to counselors, because they saw how they reacted in their fire. They had decided to live and walk loosed in the fire. This Holy Ghost that we have is not bondage. It is not something that is shackling us down and keeping us back. This is something that loosens us. This is something that allows us to walk in our world. Does this make sense? The Holy Ghost fire looses us from whatever is bound on you right now. Whatever fire is out there has no business for the fire of God. Whatever pain in your body has no business when it comes to the fire of God. Whatever spiritual bondage is on you right now, the fire of God can burn that off. Does somebody make sense? Does this make sense to anybody today? 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read it in the Message translation. It says this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 says this. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all. Your life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. But understand this principle. It says this: pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proven pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out provided proved genuine. Yeah. When Jesus wraps all this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. We'll get that picture ready. It's your faith. It's the fire that will carry you through. Yes, I did put a picture of Super Mario up there. Because it's the simple things in life. We overthink it. We come to an altar and we overthink it. We come to an altar and we don't know what to do. And we overthink, well, if I got to do this, then I got to do this. And God's not trying to do all that. No. See, I found myself at a level in my life. Saved, baptized, I even spoke in tongues. But I still had no depth to my life. It was around the time when JJ was a little guy and he didn't have that much hair. I found myself working to extend my life for that almighty coin so that my princess could have a better life. But the enemy stayed on me. He stayed attacking me, and I hadn't really grown up yet. So I started breaking down all the walls around me. I had to have something better than what I started out with. I learned to grow, but I needed power. Yeah. See, I needed the fire of God. Yeah. It's hard to see, but Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24 says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. The Lord your God is a consuming fire." Fire. What you offer, he consumes. If you are wondering why the fire of God is not in your life, I challenge you to check what you have been offering. Check the attitude of your worship. Check the offering that you're giving to God. Why is God's fire not pouring out in my life? Well, because you're not offering. It's quiet, and I love that. That's all right. I understand this, that the fire of God is precious. God is holy. Amen, somebody. God is holy. His spirit is holy. He wants to pour it out on all flesh. Because he understands this, it's the fire that will make you clean. It's the fire that will divide you from your enemies and lead you in your darkest night. It's the fire in this world that will consume you till every element of you is gone. Scripture declares that the very elements of this world will be put away. But when I read about the fire from God, I read about Elijah being on a chariot and it carried it back to him. The fire of God carried him to him. This makes sense. It was the fire of God that divided the Egyptians and the Hebrew people. It was the fire of God that decided who was God. It's in the book, people. And today I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. If we could have the musicians. I've done my share of camping and my share of barbecuing and my share of lighting fires in the fireplace. And I've watched that fire. We call it Native American TV. We just watch the fire. And we just watch it, and it's something in me. I like to see it. And I watch how the wood reacts to the fire. And I've noticed something. I noticed that it brings warmth and light no matter where it's at. And people are kind of drawn to it. People want to be around the fire. But there's something else I've also noticed, that there's always one or two pieces in that fire, in that wood, that aren't being consumed. They're just on the edge, and the fire's just burning it. In lighting a fire, I'll light it, and it'll catch a flame till the flame's not there, and then it'll go out. Yeah. See, I don't know where you find yourself today. But in preparing for this, I understand that there's two different people in this room. Those that want God and those that could care less about God. And my pull is for both of you to want the things of God and to not settle what you've already had before. To have something that God is offering today, and that's his fire. To not just be a log on the fire that's just catching the warmth off somebody else's worship. Not just a piece of wood that's just there around a good place. Because you are on fire, I can have light and I can see what I'm doing as long as I'm next to you. I can have warmth as long as I'm next to you. I can lift my hands and praise God as long as I'm next to you because you're doing it. But I'm asking for some people who are tired of the outside and want to get close to God. They want God to consume them till they hold the flame. And God burns up everything inside of them and makes them pure and makes them clean and makes them new. So they can enter a world that is longing for the light of God, that is longing for the warmth of His hands, that is longing for the cleanliness of Calvary. The Bible has always mentioned our God, and it's always in reference to fire, whether it's His eyes or His throne. There's always fire associated with God. And I'm asking today for some people. God, here's my sacrifice. Consume it with your fire. Don't let someone else burn in your place. The Bible says it took 120 people praising God in their language. And other people heard the wonderful works of God. On Tuesday, Pastor said spiritual warfare in his study. He says you're warring a good war when you pray for each other. And God will consume you when you're praying, when you're living right. And you will remain free and free others. You will plunder the enemy's camp and reach into the flames of hell and pull souls out. I'm wondering if there's anybody in this place who wants something more from God. You want a touch from God in this place. You want the fire of God to ignite in your life. This altar is open. You want a touch from God. I challenge you, come to this place. Give God something to consume. Give Him it all, that He would light it on fire and show you that He is God in your life. If the rest of us wouldn't mind standing, we're going to pray and ask for an atmosphere of praise to enter into this place. Because the Bible says that God would inhabit the praise. And if our God is here, His fire is here. Whatever you have need of, whatever is consuming your mind, whatever is drawing your strength and your thoughts and your spirit today, place it on the altar and let the Holy Ghost consume it today.